from Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and following. Then an angel of the Lord said unto Philip, get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Kandaki, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go over to this chariot and join it. So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, do you understand what you're reading? He replied, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus and was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. A professor on the first day of school, as some of us are approaching the first day of school again, instructed the class to take out their pencil because he was about to give them a test. He distributed the papers amidst their sighs and gasps. And on the paper for each was a single black dot in the center of the paper. The test question was this: tell me what you see. To each one, there was a similar response. Every student focused on the black dot in their own passionate way. Some told how it stood out in the crowd. Others talked about how it darkened the beautiful white paper. There were various reflections on the dot. They all signed their papers, turned them in. The professor said, okay, I'm not going to grade the papers today. You're off the hook there, but I want to give you a lesson that I hope you'll take with you for the rest of your life. Each one of us focused on the black dot, while all around it was beautiful purity, whiteness. So often in life, we focus on the small, the shaded, the shadows that we face, the perils, the problems, whatever the black dot is that is before us as students in the classroom. Our students of life, it's so easy to be consumed by even the smallest of darkness that we face when there's so much joy around us to celebrate as well. You know, as we've journeyed through the book of Acts, and here in recent works, we've seen the challenges that the first church faced, the conflicts that engulfed them. Last week we reflected on the death of Stephen and the persecution of Saul, even though I called him Paul all through the sermon, right? We focused on all the challenges that they faced. And in the midst of that scripture last week we read, we heard that even in the midst of the persecution, that Philip, remember Philip, one of the seven? One of the ones chosen like Stephen, who brought harmony and unity back to the church when there was division? When they were fighting over whose widows were getting served and taken care of, most of all, the Hebraic or the Hellenistic? Philip was a voice of reason. And in the midst of this persecution by Saul, the scriptures told us last week that Philip did this. Philip went forth when he was pushed out of Jerusalem, when he was faced with that black dot of persecution, of challenge and obstruction. Philip went to Samaria, and what did he do? He preached the gospel, and it tells us that he and the listeners knew joy once more. Wow. Even in the midst of their challenges, in all that was going wrong around them, Philip made a choice. I'm not only going to be conscious of what's wrong, but I'm more importantly going to celebrate what's right. The strength that inspired Peter and Philip, the leaders of the churches, to be able to do that is the same strength, friends, that we have today. The same hope we have, as we spoke of in our young disciples time this morning, that Scripture is infallible. Scripture is infallible. It will not fail us. And so it is when we put our hope in God through prayer, by trusting in the Holy Spirit to help us not only focus on the challenges, but celebrate that we face those challenges with the God of life and love, Jesus our Lord. That was the nature of Philip. But you know, Philip did something else in this passage. Not only did Philip focus on the good, but Philip did this, something I greatly appreciate. Philip did what he could. He did what he could. And what he could do was continue to preach. You know, Mary John Dill and I were talking a few weeks ago, and Mary John has a great ministry for our church, for our friends. She has a card writing ministry. If you've never gotten a card from Mary John, you're likely to get one at some point. She sends birthday cards, anniversary cards, get me well cards, all kind of cards. And she told me, that is what I can do. At 90 years young, I can't do everything I once could, right, Mary John? But I can still do that and make the life of those around me a little better. I often wondered what inspired Mary John to do that. And she told me this story a few weeks ago. She said, as I was preparing to finish college, nearing my last semester, my dad, who I loved dearly and was named after, he died unexpectedly. Certainly the family was devastated and grief-stricken. And she said, several months after Daddy's death, my mom called me and said, I need to see you. I've got something for you. She was approaching that last semester of college. Didn't have the money. Didn't know where she was going to get the money. Hoping and praying it would come through, she'd be able to finish. Her mom presented her a card, a note signed by her father, written and saying these words, I knew you could do it. I knew you would do it. And with that note was the proceeds for her last semester of college. So your father did what he could. Even when he was no longer physically present, he left a legacy of his love for his child. Wow. What a gift. And it's that same spirit I hear of in our scripture today that must have inspired Philip to go and do what he could. Jesus appreciated those words so much that he spoke those words in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14. When he spoke of the woman that anointed his body, he said, she did what she could. What if we all, church? What if we all, as family members, as mamas and daddies, as friends at school, focus not only on the challenges, but on the opportunities? If we all, with the passion of Philip, with all the passion of Mary John and her father, would do what we could. God asks nothing more. Isn't that beautiful? Friends, you're free. Hear this today with me, church. You know, I'm preaching to myself too. Okay, hear this with me. You are free from being consumed and concerned with doing everything. You don't have to. You're called by God above to do what you can. And that's for you and the Holy Spirit to work out. And have the peace that surpasses understanding to know that God is well pleased when we seek to simply glorify Him with what we have. Wow. What a gift. You know, I'm grateful for the life of Philip. But really the actor that I want to focus on, perhaps even more so in our scripture today, is that of the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian that I titled this sermon today, Who is the Ethiopian? You know, one thing that I focus on as I hear this scripture today, that the Ethiopian is quoted in three different sentences in our passage today. Did you notice that? And in each of those sentences, what the Ethiopian utters are simple questions. He doesn't profess to know it all. He has a sense of humility. And in each utterance to Philip, he simply asks questions. Isn't there great truth in that? Terry knows as an educator. Jennifer knows as an educator. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do to help that frame the minds of our students is not to always give the answers, but to help them wrestle with the questions. And so it was with the Ethiopian today. He approaches Philip as Philip approaches his chariot. And he asks, he begins by asking, how can I understand without someone to guide me? And Philip embraces that call. But the greater question for me in this passage is the last one that he asks. He says, after hearing the gospel, after Philip shares with him the words of life, the eunuch, the Ethiopian, asks this: what is to prevent me from being baptized? Well, friends, that seems to be a simple and benign question, but understanding what we do about the first century, knowing what we do about the history of Judaism and the faith, that was a profound, life-changing question. What was to prevent him from being baptized, friends? Many things. Everything was to prevent him from being baptized. Firstly, was his ethnicity. He wasn't an Israeli. He wasn't the chosen people. Amos, the prophet, said this in quoting scripture, in speaking, in being the mouth of God. That's what prophets were. Amos said this: you alone speaking to Israel, you alone are my chosen people. And you see, some of the faith, some even during this first century, believed and embraced that the only people that would know and cherish salvation were the people of Israel. It's hard to argue with Scripture. Surely, There were those scholars that twisted it, interpreted it the way they wanted to, but it was written there for anyone who wanted to embrace it in that way. You alone, Israel. So some of the leaders of the faith were unwilling to embrace people from foreign lands into the fellowship of believers. He was an Ethiopian. He was an outsider. But then the second strike against the Ethiopian is that he was a eunuch. He was a eunuch, unable to be married, to have children, unable to foster life beyond his own life. Deuteronomy 23 says this about eunuchs. It said in the holy law that eunuchs should not be a part of the fellowship of the assembly of the believers. Once again, right there in Scripture, for those who want to embrace those words, to say that that is a final, permanent statement of faith. So these are the words that are facing Philip as the eunuch sits beside him and asks, "What's to prevent me from being baptized?" Oh, he must have thought everything. But you see, in the midst of those questions, Peter had taught Philip what Peter and John and James had heard at the great commission of our Lord as his ascension. You remember those words of life? Many of us have them memorized. That Jesus said the last thing before he left this earth was to go forth and make disciples of all nations. You see the change? For us as people who are called Gentiles. For us, those who were not the chosen people from of old. This was the invitation, the proclamation by Jesus the Messiah, that my life in faith is for any who will embrace it. And Philip, riding along on this chariot, embraced that call from on high, and he responded to that question with grace and love. You know, we dog sit, we in the Hill family, every once in a while for what Manya calls my brother and Dash's cousin. His name's Ballard. He's a little feist dog. Manya says he's my brother because he's my parents' dog. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? And Ballard, he is a varmint hunter. Doesn't matter what kind of varmint it is. If it has four legs, it shall be hunted. One time he ran into a skunk. Yep, he did, Deborah. In my mom and daddy's front yard, ran into a skunk. And my daddy was passionately, Kenny, trying to get Ballard to come back to him. He was chasing the skunk. And Gerald was saying, "Come here, come here, come here, Ballard." As any of us would. Until the moment of truth happened. The skunk raised its tail, fired its shot. Ballard was hit, and Ballard was coming to daddy. And it was then that his tune changed from "come here" to "get back, get back, get back." Haven't we all heard those words before? Get back. Get back. Eunuch, you're stained, get back. But when we hear the words turning from us, Jesus proclaims the words of life. "Come to me, all you, not some of you. Come to me, all you who are weary, who are stained like Ballard, who are incomplete, maybe, if we wanted to use that harsh word, like the eunuch. Jesus said, come to me when the world says, get away. Friends, the eunuch, as he read these words in Isaiah, heard this. Before he asked, can I be baptized? He asked this. He said, who is the prophet talking about when he says that he was cut off? That he had no one to carry on his family name? Because that kind of reminds me of me, the eunuch must have thought. When I hear that one was cut off, and there would be no one to carry on his family name. Could it be, Philip? Could it be? I know this is a chance I'm taking, but could the prophet really be saying that the prophet was cut off? Would God use somebody like me? Someone who'd been humiliated? Someone who'd been ostracized? Would God use someone like me to write these words of life? Could it be that he was talking about himself? And Philip said no. He was talking about one even far greater. That a prophet, a priest, the king from on high, the one we call Lord, did not have family. His life was cut off. He was humiliated and rejected that all may have life in him. What's to prevent you from being baptized, people of faith? Nothing. Jesus Christ embraces us now and forever. Amen.